ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, Text 49, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Ataitat paramangu hyang shinvato yadunandana sugopyam apivakshyami twang me bhritya suhrit sakha. My dear Uddhav, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. Purport, it is stated in the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhruya snigdhasya shishyasya guravo guhyamapyuta. A bona fide spiritual master naturally reveals all transcendental secrets to a sincere disciple. Sri Uddhava had completely surrendered to Lord Krishna, and then only could the Lord explain such mysteries to him, because without complete faith, the transmission of spiritual knowledge is impossible. Other processes of self-realization, such as philosophical speculation, are imperfect and unsteady because the performer has personal desires, and there is no definite procedure by which to obtain the full mercy of the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, association with the pure devotees of the Lord is a self-sufficient process that is guaranteed to award the desired result. One must only learn how to associate with the pure devotees and one's life will be perfect. That is the sum and substance of this chapter. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 11th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Symptoms of Conditioned and Liberated Living Entities. Here, Uddhava is referred to by Krishna, who is well known as Yadunandan. Yadunandan is a well known name of Krishna. Uddhava is also called Yadunandan by Krishna. Means who is the delight or very dear to the members of the Yadu dynasty. So Krishna is very dear to the members of the Yadu dynasty, and so is Uddhava. And because Uddhava is Yadunandan Nandan, he's very dear to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is explaining to him, this verse parallels the well-known verse in Bhagavad Gita in which Krishna tells Arjuna that because you are my devotee as well as my very dear friend, I'm revealing these confidential secrets to you. Now, people, atheistic people, they often give the challenge that, well, you show me God. If there's God, show, prove to me that there is God. But they don't really, they say that, but they don't really want to see God. They say, show me God, but they don't want to see Him. But they're saying, show me God, is a challenge because they're certain that they cannot see God, that there is no God to see. Therefore, they can never see Him. Because there's no person more difficult to wake up than a person pretending to be asleep. So if one has a priori conclusion that there is no God, then even if he shows himself, then you won't be able to see. You'll see, but you won't recognize Him as God. And that is apparent. Duryodhan, Krishna showed him. Krishna was standing in front of him, but Duryodhan would never accept that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna showed the Vishwarup, which is actually the Vishwarup is not as important as the Swayamrup, original form. But people in general cannot appreciate how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead And thus they think that Narayan form is more important, or the Vishwarupa is more important. Because in the Vishwarupa or Narayan Rupa, there is more display of opulence. And so they presume that this must be superior, because Krishna, he doesn't display so much opulence. Actually, he does in Dwaraka and even in Vrindavan, so much opulence is there. But in Krishna Lila, opulence is not principal factor. He is known as Lila Purushottam. So the main factor is his wonderful exchanges with his devotees. But people who are, even when they come to God realization, influenced by some mundane way of thinking, they think that Krishna must be less than Narayana because Krishna doesn't show so much opulence. So they want to measure by their measurement. They consider that who has most opulence, what they can see, what they can measure. Napiyate anaya iti maya. One definition of maya is the attempt to measure. So they measure that Narayan has more or displays more opulence than Krishna. He's in a regal position, whereas Krishna not taking a regal position. Krishna, sometimes his friends are jumping on his shoulders. That's, you can't do that with the king, at least not in public. That's the whole point. Krishna, he's not showing himself as God. So they presume that Krishna cannot be supreme, because if he's supreme, then how is someone jumping on his shoulder? Or if he's supreme, then how is he pining for the association of Srimati Radharani? Then it seems he's in a lesser position. But this is because such persons are without knowledge of Bhagavan's actual opulence. They measure opulence in terms of what they consider to be best, which means power and money. But for Krishna, power and opulence, that's always this, all the shaktis of Krishna. They're always with him. They're always at his command. But he doesn't show, Krishna, especially Krishna in Vrindavan, doesn't demonstrate so much opulence, because that demonstration of opulence, that feeling of awe and reverence that is generated by opulence, inhibits the free flow of feelings between Krishna and his devotees. So Krishna doesn't show it so much, that there be free exchange. But persons who think that we shall understand God according to our understanding, and our understanding is that power, opulence, these are the most important things. So one who has this most, he must be God. Or one who shows this most. Actually, Krishna's opulence is much more than that of Narayan. Even though they're the same person, but Krishna, he is Purna Purushottam in all respects. He shows everything. Even the term Purushottam, this term will not be found in Vrindavan. He is Purushottamottam. He's the concept of Purushottam, being the topmost person, is not present there in Vrindavan. So he's gone beyond even that. So this knowledge is to be instructed to Uddhava. The next chapter is entitled Beyond Renunciation and Knowledge. On the material platform, renunciation and knowledge are considered the vital factors in understanding the Absolute Truth. And that is certainly there in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He taught Bhakti Yoga, replete with Vairagya and Vidya,
Srimad Bhagavatam also. Atra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkamyam Avishkritam. So the bhakti is inseparable from renunciation and knowledge, vairagya and vidya. However, bhakti is not dependent upon vairagya and vidya. Rather, vairagya and vidya, they are natural attendants of bhakti. They depend upon bhakti, not that bhakti depends upon vairagya or vidya. Everything, all good qualities depend, they come from bhakti, not that bhakti is a result of something else. We may think that, well, first we should teach the people to be moral, then we shall teach them bhakti. But actual morality is a product of bhakti, and so-called morality without bhakti is not morality at all. Just like if all the thieves agree that among ourselves we shall live a very moral life, but then we make our living by stealing. But among ourselves we don't steal from each other, we don't cheat. Actually that's not possible, because a thief by his nature, he will steal and cheat. So in morality in this material world, we may say, well, we're all very good, humanitarian. But everyone is immoral because they're denying to serve Krishna, which is immoral. That in itself is immoral. And that we shall not steal, not cheat, not lie, not try to exploit each other. We may say we shall do so according to moral principles, but it won't happen, because without Krishna consciousness, then the natural propensity of the jiva to serve Krishna, when he rejects his duty to serve Krishna, then automatically, having rejected his natural propensity, then he becomes imbued with the propensity to try to exploit. Instead of being Ishvara Das, he tries to be Ishvara himself. And that means he's trying to lord over others. So he must try to exploit others and cheat others and enjoy others. So morality is not possible without Krishna consciousness. And any pretense of morality without Krishna consciousness is not possible. So like that, all these things, renunciation, knowledge, morality, all these, they are products, or they are symptoms of bhakti. But it's not that first one shall become moral, then he will become a devotee. Or we shall go through renunciation knowledge, then we shall become, as a result of doing so, we shall come to devotional service. But Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janyatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukam. This knowledge and renunciation, they come automatically along with bhakti. So materialistic people, they also, not knowing this, not understanding this, not accepting this, because they don't take to bhakti, they think that renunciation and knowledge in and of themselves constitute spiritual life. They see, well, material life means to try to acquire so many things. So we shall renounce. We shall renounce all this. So accepting objects for sense gratification or rejecting them, both are two sides of the same coin of considering one's relationship to be with this material world. Conceiving of one's constitutional position in relationship with this material world, measuring it in terms of this material world. But actually, pure devotional service to Krishna has got nothing to do with enjoying the objects of this material world, nor with renouncing them, because Krishna consciousness means to be related to Krishna. So whether one accepts or rejects the objects of this material world, it's got nothing to do with Krishna, how we're serving Krishna. But if we do understand that we're meant to serve Krishna, then we'll see everything else in relationship to him also. And then there's no question of trying to enjoy the objects of this material world, nor of trying to renounce them, but rather of understanding they belong to Krishna and utilizing everything in Krishna's service. Similarly, people think that by amassing knowledge, one can become spiritually advanced. But that is also not a fact, because spiritually advanced means to love Krishna, which doesn't depend upon amassing knowledge. Now, knowledge of Krishna, that is, learning about Krishna, that is from bona fide sources, but that is not equivalent to amassing mundane knowledge, nor is it equivalent to amassing Vedic knowledge, which is focused on impersonal liberation. That in itself is fully spiritual activity. That in itself is bhakti, to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, if it is executed in the right spirit, service spirit. So Uddhav is to be instructed in all these matters, because one who is envious of Krishna, or one who is not actually wanting to see Krishna, but taking to spiritual life with in the heart the not the fully sincere desire to serve Krishna, but rather the desire to further one's own advantage conceived of in terms of personal enjoyment in the name of spiritual life. So such a person is not fit to understand Krishna. Krishna instructed Uddhava because he knows that Uddhava is fully sincere to serve Krishna. He's submissive. What does submissive mean? That there are no obstacles within his heart. No, there's no point where he's going to say, no, I won't do that. I won't accept that. He's fully ready to serve Krishna in all respects. And in therefore, he's fit to be instructed in knowledge beyond renunciation and knowledge. Because he's already beyond renunciation and knowledge. He's not interested in enjoying this material world, trying to understand this material world, or renouncing this material world, but he's only interested in understanding Krishna. Therefore, he is the fit person to hear about Krishna consciousness, because others, even if they do hear, even if they hear the same message, because of the obstacles which they raise in their hearts, that knowledge will not reach to their heart. It will get stuck in their mind and then reprocessed and come out another way. Because in their heart, there is not the desire to serve Krishna. Therefore, knowledge of how to serve Krishna will never reach their heart, even if it's spoken by Bhagavan himself. Because they don't want. Now, if one hears with some misconceptions, but with basically the desire to serve Krishna, then the effect is that it cleanses the heart. Vidyate hridaya grantas. It breaks, pierces the knot in the heart. Chidyante sarva sangshayaha. And it slashes all doubts. So it's not that one has to be a completely pure devotee before one hears Srimad Bhagavatam. One may have doubts and misconceptions, but if one is basically sincere to serve Krishna, but still in the conditioned stage, then the effect of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is that the heart will be cleansed of all misconceptions, and then one will be fit to actually hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be heard again and again. And the more we hear, the closer we come to Krishna. We are far from Krishna due to our misconceptions, or the misconceptions which are born of lack of desire to serve Krishna. But by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the dirty things in the heart are cleansed. And then when the dirty things in the heart are cleansed, then we can actually appreciate who is Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, one should very carefully go through the first 9 cantos and become eligible to hear and understand the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, which is, here the word is given, gopya, sugopyam. Most confidential. Hare Krishna. Well, I said it would be a short class, and it is. Otherwise, these subjects can be discussed all day. and night. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Oh, there's 20 minutes. So something. Prabhupada usually spoke like that. 20, 25 minutes. Sometimes more.